Hi, this is Joe Ibe, also known as FX, and also known as the Metal Hawk guy, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I have XV, JD, John, and Rob. Guys, how is it going?
Fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
I can't stop dancing.
Really?
The news of all this week has got me just boogieing down.
Oh yeah, it's been a pretty big week. We'll get more a little bit more into that.
As you sigh.
Yeah, it's what is it? December 16th, Wednesday. Next to last? No, we have one more show. Two more shows this year.
Two more.
2009 will almost be done. Hard to believe.
Oh. Yeah, we've almost been doing this again for, what, 6 months now?
Yeah, actually, something I think like within a week we'll be back at it for 6 months. Actually, nice. Counted the number of shows we've done historically, I think we're in like the 130 range. So we've done a pretty good amount of stuff over the years, but you know, 6 months, 6 months return.
We should have a 6 month special.
We should have a 6 month. Actually, that'll be our Christmas special.
Hey.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! And we can't say Christmas here.
All right, the 6 month That's special right. for the show nobody's going to listen to.
Yeah, nobody listens on holidays. It's kind of funny.
Well, see, if we put the show out enough ahead of time, people could download it and listen to it as they're going to, you know, wherever people go.
That's a lot of forethought.
You know where
though.
You can go, XP.
Yeah, God knows where they go on Christmas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, nobody I wants to listen anywhere. To a Christmas themed show like on December 28th. It's like they're done with Christmas at that point.
Well, I got us a way to get listeners in, guys.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm. Next week, we will have an RSC exclusive that no one else will have.
What?
The show. Ah. No one else has RFC next week.
That is factually That's... correct.
Edit that out, Brian. They're going to tune in. We go like, the exclusive. You're listening to it.
Yeah, this is the exclusive. So, a lot of stuff to hit this week. I want to run through it real quick because we have to record the other show after. So let's go. We have news for this week. We also have This Day in History, Stump Monzo. We have a couple of articles of discussion, an interview with my pal, Chris McFeely, song parody from Turin. Turin's been doing those for years, and this is his first new one in a while, and RFC Twitter Theater. Okay, in the news, the big news for this week, Power Core Combiners. A couple of pictures were, well, one picture was leaked to 4chan, and another yet unrelated story from Alt Toys Transformers from last month got sort of mixed into the whole news bit. Cybertron actually posted it, which was kind of hilarious. But what do you guys think so far of the Power Core Combiners?
They look very two-dimensional, don't they?
Yes. Yes.
Kind of flat.
There's not a lot of depth, really. Yeah.
But seriously, I'm excited for what the concept looks like, because, I mean, my favorite thing in the last few years was mini-cons in Armada, and this looks like the natural extension of that idea.
Yeah, mini-cons meet master gimmicks. It's brilliant.
Right, I'm all for
the
little
mini-con meet master, because I would pay for that.
That's
I'm going to think about that one. Nice.
That'll be, yeah.
But yes, so what was actually leaked was a packaging mock-up with a couple of pictures of the toys in I'm actually going to say rudimentary packaging. It doesn't look final. The actual
it's generic packaging. It's proof of concept packaging.
Exactly. The graphics on it. Packaging. Yeah, the graphics on it didn't look that great. It looked.
I mean, there's no trademark emblems or anything. No. Everything on it is basically guaranteed to be different by the time it actually comes out.
It looked legit, but there was not enough to differentiate it from the movie line to really be, you know, what I would expect.
Right, it was the same color and general style of packaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually looked kind of like they put that in like a Robot Heroes package set. Like just the general shape of it.
Mayhap.
But I don't know. I mean, we're talking. I mean, I you know, I'm always reserved. I'm a little, you know, tentative. I mean, it's sort of like trying to figure out what all of our motto was about by looking at, say, Demolisher.
You can totally do that. Or you throw Scavenger in there, and you totally have Armada basically pegged.
Yeah, but just off of one figure, you don't necessarily get it all. So there may be more to it. This may be an exception. I it's hard to say. So that's why I'm saying, if it's more like this, awesome. So I mean, that's why I say I'll remain optimistic. I want to see more.
We'll get back to this later on because I want to dig a little deeper into this. There's some undercurrents here that we really haven't hit on yet. Japanese vending machine MicroMasters. I'm thinking these are knockoffs. I mean, has this been proven as legitimate as far as...
All we really know for sure is that they're in Tomy's vending machines.
Which I could put a dollar...
It does not actually mean they're Tomy product.
Yeah, I could put whatever in that. It doesn't matter. Just because right. there's a Tomy sticker on it doesn't mean that Tomy produced it.
Exactly.
I spent a good hour that morning looking for them on various vending machine sites where they sell those capsule toys, and I couldn't find them at all. I could find all sorts of bootleg alternators and all sorts of crap, but not those. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Find any girls' panties?
Nice detective work.
Well, I mean, no, they put everything in vending machines, you know.
But I did see a listing for a Chinese Masterpiece Starscream listed as Bumblebee.
Interesting.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
No price. I had to inquire to get the price.
Another bit of news in the week.
You're actually interested.
Another bit of news for the week, which we'll get into later. Radio Free Cybertron is to become the official podcast of TFormers.com. More details later on in the show. And
what?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, big news. Walmart cheers. Has dropped the price. I haven't seen these in the store yet. Price of deluxe is down to $8.
Yes.
I was in Walmart yesterday.
Toys for Tots donations.
Yeah, please, please. Buy all
remember
of these.
Remember the underprivileged children, which there is a lot more of this year than there has been in years past.
Yeah, and the down economy in the whole world. I mean, the whole world economy is down. Buy these toys so that we can clear stuff off the shelves for new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Dude, focus on what's important. You know?
I think
help
a
kid out, right. Really help you out.
Yeah, exactly.
My Walmart's just movie toys, not the animated toys.
My Walmart only has movie toys, which is unfortunate.
Well, someone's got to get rid of all those RCs. Really?
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. I about forgot something.
Oh.
You okay?
Yeah. It's kind of important. What happened this week? Last Thursday, I ordered from Amazon. I had a $20 Amazon credit. I get those occasionally, and I've really been wanting Device Label Ravage. So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll see if someone has it on Amazon, because I buy everything from Amazon except for toys typically. And lo and behold, there was Ravage for the exact same price that Big Bad Toy Store was charging. So I went ahead and used my $20 credit and bought the toy. So patiently I waited, and surprisingly, on Monday I had a package from Big Bad Toy Store. I thought, wow, that's awesome. These people are smart. They're basically drop shipping from Big Bad Toy Store to sell it to the end user. That's brilliant. I should start doing that. So I opened the toy and I'm like, this is really cool. This is kind of nice. Then I started looking at the invoice, and there was no information on it except for my shipping address. So I thought that was kind of peculiar. So I did some digging, and I sent an email out to my friends about this, and I found out that it was a secret Santa gift. I thought, oh, cool. I'm going to have two of these Ravages. Well, no. Yesterday, I received a small bubble wrap envelope in the mail, and in the envelope and saw something on a card. It was Ravage, and knockoff Ravage. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the colors were wrong. It looked like it was made of junk, and I was really disappointed. I emailed the guy, and I'm like, I don't know if you know this, but you are selling knockoff toys. He sent me an email back basically admitting it, and he offered me a refund because I wasn't satisfied. You know what I should have done to begin with?
Oh, I think you probably should have just ordered it from Big Bad Toy Store in the first place.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah.
Big Bad Toy Store would never sell you, never knowingly sell you a knockoff product.
They would never sell you a knockoff product. I mean, they only sell, you know, legitimate Hasbro or Takara, you know, licensed products, unless the product, of course, is like a fan project, which, you know, we're cool with that. So, but yeah, they totally shipped me a bootleg. They knew it was a bootleg. I should have, $20 credit or not, I should have just, you know, spent the extra cash and got it at BBTS. But luckily, I'm going to get my money back, and also luckily, I got the Secret Santa gift. So I'm pretty happy. So the money that went toward the device label Ravage or the device label Jaguar knockoff that I got will probably end up going toward probably some Mighty Mugs or something at BBTS.
Buy a Tigatron, but then you can have Ravage and Tigatron running around on your computer screen.
No, I can have Tigatron running on my screen now.
Oh, you get both of them in the one thing?
Yeah. The little dashboard.
Did the knockoff come with Bonsai Buddy?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't open it. I just said I put it right back in the envelope and sent the guy a nasty grant.
Touch it.
But yeah, I mean, I've bought stuff from Big Bad Toy Store basically since there was a Big Bad Toy Store, and I have never once, and I say that without hyperbole, I have never had a problem buying from Big Bad Toy Store.
And every once in a while, they get something new before anybody else has it, too.
That's true.
Like, just recently, they got Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon, which is sadly sold out now, but still can't find those in the store.
And their packaging is impeccable.
Well, go ahead and shop at Big Bad Toy Store. You will not regret it. You have my guarantee. So, JD, what happened today in Transformers history?
Today, this day, 1985... Back to the Future. No.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
No, saw the premiere of the Transformers episode Masquerade, which, of course, yes, that was Autobots painted as Decepticons, thus giving birth to endless repaints of various iterations of those particular Autobots as their Stunticon counterparts.
I hate that episode so much.
It's definitely one of those episodes that's constructed around a concept rather than a good plot idea. And
they did it with magnets.
There's
the combining part.
The combining part makes absolutely no sense because, yeah, for one, they're like, okay, well, we're going to use Mirage's hologram ability to make the head, which he never had a hologram ability in the show. It wasn't his tech spec. But it was.
That was Hound's deal on the show.
It was Hound's deal on the show.
Exactly. It was Hound's deal on the show. And then hands? Whose hands? What hands? Where did those come from? So.
I try not to think about Masquerade.
Basically, though, in that case, Mirage said, I'll form the head.
Yes. Yes. Instead of Optimus.
No jokes. No jokes.
God, everyone likes Voltron. Okay.
Yes.
So,
somebody posted on our
joke at 9 this morning.
Yeah. Somebody posted on our YouTube channel about Voltron not being made from Tiggers. And I now want a Voltron made of Tiggers. It would be the bounciest Voltron ever.
Oh.
I can almost guarantee you somewhere on the internet that fan art exists.
Probably.
Form Blazing Sword.
I want that so bad.
Oh, yes.
Best Voltron combination ever. I'll just bounce over on their tails and boom, Voltron.
Okay, JD, continue. Sorry.
Oh, yes. So, and then, of course, last year we got Energon Ultimate Collection.
Oh, God.
Come on now, read it correctly.
Okay.
Speaking of concepts instead of plots.
JD.
So, many children can expect their Christmas to be ruined when they receive a gift of Transformers Energon Ultimate Collection DVD set released today by Paramount Pictures, of course, on this day in 2008.
I didn't bother picking it up.
It's stumbling. Yeah,
no. It's sort of like should have been subtitled Energon, sense. This makes none. So,
no, I think they could have gone with a quote from the show and called it Transformers Energon.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break. Go to Stunt Monzo, and we will be back with a discussion of power core combiners. We'll be right back.
XV wanted to know. Hey, XV, you want to ask him?
No, you ask him. You've got the question written down in front of you.
Okay. How many times has G2 GoBot Motormouth been repainted, and what are the names?
Let's see. Motormouth, that is the blue truck mold. The first, it was the silver Ironhide in Generation 2 itself. And I don't believe that was used in the Japanese Generation 2. So then we skip forward to Car Robots, where it became Ox, and it had a heat-sensitive rub sign, but not like the old ones. It was heat-sensitive paint. And then that became Ironhide and Robots in Disguise. And Robots in Disguise Ironhide, let's see, I think he got, like, four or five different redecos of himself. There was Super Ox, two different KB Clears. Let's see. Oh, Super Clear Ox and Super Ox, now that I think about it. So that, I think it brings him up to five and, well, no, six if you include the Japanese one. And he got redecoed for, yes, he was redecoed in Universe as himself, but colored as Trailbreaker. So you had an Ironhide colored Trailbreaker, if I remember right. After that, was there anything after that? Well, there was a Tiny Tin Ironhide, but I don't think he counts. It was the same figure, just in a case that had a little tin. So I'm going to say four characters and maybe 10 decos.
And this is why we have Stomp Monzo.
Because it's impossible to do.
the count was a little off, but you named every single instance of that mold. Zero people have so far stumped Monzo. You're the best, sir.
Tune in next week when Protoman will attempt to stump Monzo. Power core combiners. I don't know how many of you really kept up with this story this week. Not you, you guys. I know you did because it's your job. But the listeners, what happened basically? 4chan, someone in 4chan posted what are ostensibly mock-ups of Power Core Combiner toys in package. When I say in package, the mock-up was in the package. It's just a picture. That person or someone else, I think it was someone on the TFW 2005 boards, found a post from Patrick Stewart of Alt Toys Transformers. Patrick Stewart, who is the Transformers or the Hasbro. What does he say? I'm your Hasbro insider, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Either way, the guy's been posting for 14 years. 14 years. Like in like 10 posts in 14 years. And he goes out of his way to be as implausible as possible. I mean, like introducing the new movie in 2001, talking about it. He said it was going to star Spunk Witwicky. Spunk Witwicky. He said that Transformers was going to come back. I think my favorite thing that he ever said was that Transformers would come back. They would reissue the original toys, except they would have this new gimmick where they have little drivers. So basically, the new toys were coming back as Diaclone. So I mean, it's never serious. And Power Core Combiners, not serious, but a stopped clock is right twice a day. So apparently, it's
sometimes crazy works.
Sometimes crazy works. So either what it looks like is he was close enough on the money to be plausible to actually sort of fit in with sort of the makeup, or at least what the series looks like it's going to be like. Did he not talk about like Power Masters and crap, something like that?
Yeah, he was eerily close this time.
Eerily close. So the person must have assumed that Patrick Stewart was a genuine Hasbro insider.
Well, he's got to work his way up to captain somehow, man.
Yeah, exactly. I personally know for a fact that Patrick Stewart is a troll. He's illegitimate. He is not real. He is not a Hasbro insider. He has no Hasbro contacts. He probably doesn't even exist as a person. He never responds to his email. He's probably like the fourth Deathy. For the people listening who know, Deathy is someone on Alt Toys Transformers that basically just posts nonsense. There have been many people over the years pretending to be Deathy when Deathy disappeared.
And just for general comedic effect.
Yeah. So he's probably one of those people. But thankfully, T-Formers, AllSpark, and TFW 2005 did not post this as news on their website. But
however, certain other website.
Yeah, another website actually posted that as news for several hours. And I laughed all day. So
actually, I think you laughed the next day too.
I laughed the next day too. So in like a scoop hungry dash, someone didn't check their facts, and they posted one of the most infamous Transformers trolls ever. They posted that as news. So
of course, this isn't their first time in jumping the gun on a post like this. During the interim between animated season 2 and season 3, they posted somebody's completely speculative outline of the coming season as fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this isn't the first time they've done something like this.
I was sitting in a Captain D's yesterday waiting for my food, and I was looking over the Twitter feed with my BlackBerry, and I actually saw that they had posted this. And the poor lady...
Take the picture, man.
I was just... They were bringing my food up. You know that when you order at Captain D's, they give you your receipt and you wait for them to come up? The lady was like, she nailed my order, and I was like, holy crap! Like, out loud screamed it. And they're like, it's okay, sir. It's just stuffed crab. I know. I really like it. Thank you.
We take this crap way too seriously, but...
I got so excited when I read it, like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was kind of like Christmas morning for me. It's one of those things where it's just like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. It's so wonderful.
It's these kind of moments you wait all your life for.
Yeah.
As pathetic and miserable as that sounds.
Yeah, yesterday was a very fun day. I'm assuming that what we saw with Power Core Combiners, the picture is legitimate. I mean, like we said earlier.
It fits in with, you know, other mock-ups that have been on display legitimately.
And the toy looked legitimate. I mean, right. It had sort of like a strong arm movie sort of deal going on.
Yeah,
it's somewhere between the movie and the traditional design.
Yeah, so, I mean...
And that's what we got told a while back we would be getting after the movie line ended. They were going to keep part of that styling and just kind of mix it into what we had before.
Yeah.
No, that's just
common sense. That all fits.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's... Seriously, I have no reason not to believe it, except for the Patrick Stewart stuff.
Well, yeah.
I was waiting for that picture to load up on my BlackBerry, just waiting to see the newsworthy pic that was probably like injector glued onto a box.
I mean the toy itself, the picture itself, I don't doubt it. Somehow, some way, 4chan probably got it. I don't know really anything about 4chan.
I always thought they're. I get confused with Fox Kids every time I hear 4chan. And
what exactly for the listeners, for those who know, what exactly is 4chan?
I don't know. I've never been there.
Isn't it just like a news site based in Asia?
It's an image board.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
AT&T block it or something?
It's an image board. Don't go look at it while you're at work. Trust me.
Gotcha.
NSFW.
Gotcha. Well, I have AT&T, so I don't think I can look at it anyway. So.
Well, I'm on AT&T, and I can see it, but...
Yeah, no reason to doubt the toy, but the story
is completely... Or the cardboard cutout, anyway.
The cardboard cutout, but the story is
doubt
completely...
the man.
Yeah, it's completely illegitimate. If anything happened to be true, it was just pure happenstance, so... I just took great pleasure in yesterday because, you know, I have my finger on the pulse of, you know, Transformers trolldom and just happened to know that Patrick Stewart is not a real person. Make it so. Okay, so let's go ahead, take a quick break. What are we doing now? Are we doing the Chris McFeely interview? This week, this weekend, actually, for the first time in 10 years, got a chance to sit down and talk with Chris McFeely, who you will know from the TF Wiki. He did some work with Metrodome on the DVD releases. He has worked with Moonbase 2 podcast. Chris is a great dude. We have an excerpt from the interview. We have the full interview available for download, and we will return right after this. With me this week, I have Chris McFeely, the famous Chris McFeely that you've almost certainly heard of. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very flattered to be referred to as famous. It is a complete lie. Don't worry if you haven't heard of me because you're part of a large group of people.
Okay, if any of you purchased or at least read like transcripts of the Metrodome headmaster's commentary, you did what, like 3 or 4 episodes for the DVD release of that from back in 2005?
I did 3 episodes, but again, those were Region 2 DVDs, so I don't expect your American listeners to really know.
I have it. I have a copy of it, so I've listened to it. Let's see here. You're also involved with the Moonbase 2 podcast.
I do. I appear on there on a semi-regular basis. I'm an occasional guest star over there with Dave and Andy.
And you're a YouTube celebrity.
Oh. I have some videos on YouTube.
But no, you and I have known each other tangentially, at least. Unless, you know, we've never actually spoken until today. But
it's so ridiculous, really.
Yeah. You're one of the few people on Earth that I've wanted to meet that I've not. So it's been really fun, like in the pre-talk here, really talking with you. I think we've been going for about an hour prior to recording here. But Chris, tell us about yourself. How did you get involved with the Transformers, and how did you get involved with the Transformers fandom?
Okay, well, I was always a Transformers fan when I was young. I don't quite remember how I got started on Transformers. I remember that my first Transformer was either Starscream, who I got for Christmas, or Snarl, who I got for my birthday. But I don't remember which order those came in. And I remember that I don't think I ever saw the cartoon on TV, but I always rented a lot of videotapes of it. But I do remember that the very first comic, not Transformers comic, but comic that I ever read, to the best of my recollection, was an issue of the UK comic. And I remember that it was Prey Part 2. Can't remember the issue number. I guess that would be in the 90s somewhere. And that was my first exposure to comics. I don't know if it was my first exposure to Transformers, but it was certainly my first exposure to comics, and it fostered a great love of comics. And I do now work selling comics for a living. So Transformers has influenced me both directly and indirectly like that.
Yeah.
But I did drop out of it as I grew up. Because didn't we all?
Yeah.
But it was definitely Beast Wars that brought me back into it. And I do remember, I think, well, maybe a lot of people who dropped out of it having this just outright disgust at the notion of Beast Wars whenever I first saw the images in one of the little catalogs that came with a toy that one of my younger brothers had bought. It was like Optimus Prime Mole. What the hell is that? And then the cartoon... was broadcast. Now, the cartoon had a dreadful broadcast schedule over here in the UK, but it was only on holidays at 8 o'clock in the morning several times, you know, less than a dozen episodes a year, usually was the way the thing went down. And I didn't even see the first part, but I saw the second part. And by God, if I did not rewatch that solitary episode at least three or four times that day, it was just, it pulled me right back in instantly. And not too much longer after that, an Irish TV channel called TV3, it just launched. I believe that would have been 2007. It launched that year, and it was showing the Generation 2 cartoon. And it was at like 7 o'clock in the morning, but you had better believe there was an alarm set for that, because I didn't even know what it was. This was before I had the internet. I didn't know what the Generation 2 cartoon was. So I was like, what is that? I have to find out. And I got up, and it just turned out to be the old show. And that was even better than anything I could have been expecting. And it highlighted to me how little I actually remembered or had even experienced. I did not know until 1997 that they made episodes after the movie.
A lot of people don't remember that. I find funny, but a lot of people don't remember season 3, which is a shame.
I love season 3. It is possibly my favorite season of the cartoon. But I came downstairs to watch the newest episode, and because Generation 2 didn't show them in any particular order, and Ghost in the Machine came on. And I did not know what was happening. where is this? Who is that? Because it starts out with that scene of all of them walking into the camera. No, out of the, you know, walking forwards, yes, with their backs to the camera. So I was like, I don't recognize who is. That's Scourge. Why is Scourge? How can. And Starscream is. And it's that Galvatron. Is this after the movie? And Starscream is dead in the movie, and this is a ghost. And this is after the movie. What the hell is this? The thought process was a disturbing and alarming one at the time. And I didn't have the internet at this stage, so I couldn't find out about this stuff. And I got the internet, I think it was 99. I want to say we got internet in the homestead. And I remember that I stumbled headfirst into the Transformers fandom in the little gap between Beast Wars and Beast Machines. And BigBot.com, which I think still exists today, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, I don't know. Do they still have a chat room?
No clue.
HTML-based chat the way it was back then. And that was my first little baby steps into the online fandom. And I hung out there for quite a while. And it was, to bring this back around to being relevant to the program that we're currently on, it was while I was there that I discovered RFC. Now, I don't know how. For the life of me, I can't remember how I discovered that the show existed. But I listened to it. I enjoyed it. And then again, I don't remember. See, these are these hazy old memories. I think that Tortured Spark was his name. You and I knew him better as Mike, if I'm remembering the details right. I knew him through Big Bot. And I believe he introduced me to Marvel Universe Transformed, which you were talking about there the other week when you had Carl.
Yes.
And I got invited to become part of that group, as far as memory serves. And you were writing Captain America, and I was like, oh my God,
poorly.
Kilby, the guy from the show. I was writing, what did I write? I wrote Fantastic Four. I wrote, what did I write, about 7, 8, maybe 9 issues of Fantastic Four at the time. And I think Fantastic Four were and still are my favorite superheroes. So that was a lot of fun before the whole thing sort of collapsed in on itself. But it's great to see Carl's bringing it back. And then I think it was, again, I keep saying I think, but through MUTF, I asked you, because I had heard it mentioned on RFC a lot, And I had also read the World's Worst fanfic, going back to the hope. I guess fanfic was really what pulled me into the whole thing, because I read a lot of World's Worst fanfic, even if I didn't get a lot of it because of all these little private jokes and everything from ATT, but it kept mentioning ATT, and then RFC, ATT was often mentioned on it, and they had the ATT buzz and everything. And I have to remember, I wasn't on the internet for very long. I did not know what this was. I typed it into my address bar. It didn't work. What was this mysterious place? So I asked you what it was, and you showed me how to get there through the old Deja groups back in the day. And that was my first bold stride into what is, you know, remembered at this stage as the Transformers fandom of the 90s. So if I may blow your mind and warm your heart at the same time, Brian, that, as I say it out loud, that would actually make you and the MUTF guys the oldest online friends that I have that I'm still in contact with.
Wow. That does warm the heart.
A little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And so it just makes it highlights just how friggin' redonkulous it is that we haven't talked person to person before.
Never before today. It is really odd. We were talking before about this, you know, some of my forays into terrible fan fiction. And you were one of the, like, three or four people who knew that I was this terrible troll that preyed on two or three people
now,
on the internet.
Wasn't until about 2 years later.
Yeah, I was really secretive about it. But so yeah, we've known each other for years, but have never spoken. This is really cool for me. But you said that now you're working in a comic shop and things like that, and you're working on you work with the Moonbase 2 podcast. So you've come a long way since writing Fantastic Four and listening to RFC and reading BigBot.com.
Particularly that last one. Yes, I remember that. After leaving Big Bot, essentially ATT was all I did. I think a lot of people in that time period, Transformers was the fandom essentially at that time, and it was only then that web boards were springing up. But I didn't really venture out to them at all. I do remember I posted at times on the TF Archive board back when it was an archive of comic scans and
video
eggs. Many, many moons ago. I specifically remember that the thing that caused me to actually branch out and experience the world beyond newsgroup was whenever the last run of Armada episodes premiered in the UK ahead of anywhere else. And for the benefit of our brothers across the ocean, I wrote up summaries of them and posted them to ATT, and I thought to myself, not that many people read this anymore. I should probably post these somewhere else. So I joined up to the AllSpark to post them there, and that's basically where it went from. I'm still a member of the AllSpark today, and I still post there. And so yes, I certainly credit RFC with bringing me, you know, with giving me that. Well, not even so much RFC, I suppose. I mean, yourself personally showing me where ATT was a big step, but then it was through RFC that I learned about it in the first place and knew to ask you at all. So I definitely credit RFC as being a big influence on my formative TF years, and I'm very happy to see it back.
I encourage everyone to go to tfradio.net, which is our website, of course, and download the interview with Chris McFeely. It was a blast, if you couldn't tell from that excerpt. I have known Chris for 10 years, and that was the first time we actually got to sit down and talk with each other. The pre-talk for the interview was an hour. I wish I'd recorded it. Then we talked probably again another 25, 30 minutes after the interview was done. He's a great lad, and I really enjoyed it. Go to tfradio.net, download it, listen. It's all good stuff. I bumped my... That's my pop
screen.
Yeah, no, that's my pop screen. I'm running a new setup this week. If you couldn't tell last week, my microphone gave out, and I had to get a new one. So I'm running a Behringer C1. It was cost effective and it sounds good. Plus, I got a new pop filter because I was using a homemade pop filter, which is better than the microphone stand that I used for years on RFC, which was made with a clothes hanger nails
and a block of wood.
And a block of wood. So,
as if we haven't heard this dozens of times already.
Duct tape.
Yeah. Moving right along.
For discussion like that is the reason we have been chosen to be the official podcast of TFormers.com.
Yes. Now we know what to put on your tombstone.
Yes. So,
pepperoni and sausage.
Anthony, aka Ironhide 1975, is leaving the TFormers.com podcast due to he's going to have a massive load at work. So he is stepping aside. They are ending the TFormers.com podcast. The last podcast will be recorded December 28th. I'll be on the podcast. Jack from TFormers.com is supposed to be on the podcast as well. And the next week, Radio Free Cybertron will become the official podcast of TFormers.com. But never fear, because Radio Free Cybertron will be the same podcast you've always known and loved. We're not changing our name. We're not changing our cast. We're not doing anything. But this is all great news. We'll be able to expand what we do. We have more resources available to us. Our audience will expand. This really means good things. Guys, I know you are all excited about this, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Pumped.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
dancing again.
We will not fail this audience.
No, we will not fail this audience. This is what we were born to do.
We will deliver the exact same level of quality working officially for TFormers that we have delivered working for ourselves this whole time.
Yeah.
But absolutely no more.
Yeah, talking with Jack, he was telling us all the connections that he had and he can put us, you know, together with, and so on and so forth. With this, we'll have more convention coverage. We'll have more interviews. I mean, it's going to be RFC, but it's going to be bigger, better, and more in your face. Or not. We'll be just as much in your face as we are now. But we won't compromise at all our opinions each and every week on RFC.
Amen. This is good. This is good. And for our new listeners, hopefully they'll be adopting. Welcome. And,
yeah.
You know, give us a shot.
Yeah. People are going to miss Anthony. Anthony is one of the nicest people I have ever talked to. I'm going to miss hearing him every week, but he will be on from time to time. We are going to expand our news section because, of course, TFormers is like the news source for Transformers. We're going to bring Ender on, and maybe he's a Piper, Jason, that hasn't been hammered out yet, for an expanded news section. You're not really losing the TFormers.com podcast. It's just sort of all melding together into something awesome. So,
you're not losing them so much as you're gaining us.
Yeah, and exactly. We are huge, so you're gaining a lot.
You just gained the motherload.
Yes. So, let's see here. But yeah, so it's all good for the people who are listening now for the first time. We're pretty awesome. We were built to rule, and we're going to rock your socks. And for our long-term fans, the people who've listened forever, never fear, this is good news. So,
if we were built to rule, does that mean we're going to end up in the discount bin in a month and a half?
Basically.
Is that sort of like being an instrument of destruction?
Tools no. Foul okay. Play. Is this what is it, a silent interruption? Yes. Existence stripped away.
Yes,
that makes no sense. I never.
I hate the two of you so much.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Turin is famous for his song parodies as well as the parody Transformers the Movie, which we are working on part five right now. As soon as we have more details, we will share them with you. But Turin is doing another parody this week, and I honestly have no idea what the song was. Do you guys know the song? Did you get the email from Turin? The song's called Life on Cybertron. His actual song was, let's see if I can remember what it was, based on...
That doesn't seem like remembering so much as looking up what you said.
Hush, yeah. XV.
If I can
hear you clicking the mouse, so can everybody else.
Life in a Northern Town by the Dream Academy. Does anyone else know that song?
Never heard of it.
I don't know what it is, but I enjoyed it.
It's an 80s song, isn't it?
Well,
that would be appropriate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that's an 80s song.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's pretty great, and we're going to go ahead and play it, and we will return shortly.
drifting through the galaxy, running low on energy, fighting so we can be free, be free. The Autobots are on the run, hiding from the Decepticons. We need some energon. Life on Cybertron. We started as consumer goods, merely servants it was understood. But one day we found we could be so much more. We rebelled against the quintessons, and our freedom we then won. But the peace didn't last too long, not for long. Life on Cybertron. At war for so long, the Decepticons were just too tough. We couldn't fight them hard enough. So we turned to stealth and bluff, and we beat them. But they learned how to transform too, when they invented flight the menace grew. And the civil wars began anew, on and on. Life on Cybertron. At war for so long.
Thank you there, Turin. What are we doing? Oh, yes, 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 yes. We are doing the RFC Twitter Theater. If you don't know, every week on Twitter, except when we accidentally do it on Facebook instead, we post an episode.
Good going.
Yeah, we post an episode of some Transformer series, and we try to talk about it unless we fail to actually watch it. This week, I think everyone, except for maybe XV, actually got around to watching the episode to refresh ourselves, and it's one of my all-time favorite episodes, and I'm honestly serious. The Transformers Generation 1 Season 3 episode, The Killing Jar. So, gentlemen, what do we think about The Killing Jar?
Well, the thing that confuses me is that for all the Ultra Magnus reissue variants Takara made, there was not a Killing Jar Magnus among them.
I thought the exact same thing. I've always wanted the Diaclone Magnus repaint. Never had it, of course. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculously expensive, but I would totally settle for a Killing Jar Magnus because it's plausible. It's way better than the Cyclonus, which is just sad.
Yeah. Wasn't Cyclonus like salmon colored?
Like what colored?
Salmon colored.
Maybe.
Yeah, roughly, I guess.
Or brownish, maybe something like that.
I liked Wreck-Gar's.
Going from pink to brown.
My favorite part.
I'm colorblind or something. I don't know.
My favorite part from the whole episode is when Marissa's father shows up, who is Flint from G.I. Joe. He turns out to be a Quintesson, of course, because this is just an illusion. And what is it that he says, Marissa, I'm still your father, as a Quintesson? It's kind of creepy and great.
Yeah, he's just got a head. Don't worry, it's still me.
Yeah.
That's a kiss.
But the thing is, it's not him. At that point, there's really no reason to carry on the illusion because the deed's been done. Yeah. So I don't really get that.
Wait. How far did this go?
It didn't go very far.
That's like, the one thing that you pick out from the episode, because I thought it was the fact that it had no plot.
Oh, it kind of has a plot. The Quintesson
plot is that if you fall through a black hole, your colors get inverted.
You're in a white hole at that point.
Yeah, and escaping's incredibly dangerous, but all you really got to do is drive through it.
Yeah,
and the Quintessons are experimenting on their creations and a human for fun.
And Wreck-Gar really likes TV clowns.
Yeah. I mean, if you were basically a Transformers god, wouldn't you just fool around with him for fun?
Yeah.
Sure. And although my favorite part is when they should have ripped Marissa in half when the Sharktacon and Ultra Magnus are like pulling her and
fighting for her.
Yeah.
Well, see, Ultra Magnus just wasn't pulling that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have done it. But why did he crush the cockpit if he's going to put Marissa in there? He would needed it more than the Quintesson. Here you go. Bye. Hey. We don't have to put it with her anymore.
Episode.
Yeah, I mean, the episode really doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it's more coherent than Child's Play or something like that. Well, maybe that may not be a good example. City of Steel. It's more coherent than City of Steel.
Yeah.
But City of Steel was more brought down by the animation house that did it.
That's a big chunk of it, yeah.
To me, it was suffered from those episodes of G1 where they clearly were trying to make something sci-fi instead of another action episode. And they were just like, okay, and...
They failed. Right.
Yeah, here we go. Not to mention, Cyclonus has a different voice in the cartoon. Like, the only episode his voice is different. You hear him in the movie, all of Five Faces of Darkness, and all of a sudden... All right, I'm going to go fight this guy here.
Well, his voice was different in the Rebirth, too.
Oh, was it? I don't remember that one.
Because hadn't Roger C. Carmel died by then?
Oh, okay. It wasn't as noticeable, at least. It almost sounds RTM1 dubbish.
How's it going?
And it doesn't. He's supposed to be like this highly intelligent warrior as they're painting him.
You get here, you. Like, I'll take care of you now.
Exactly. Oh, and the whole we'll meet as warriors and all, and at the end where Ultra Magnus is like, we're all going, he like pines that we're from the same race, but we can't, you know, same galaxy, but we'll always be at war. But at the end of it, Ultra Magnus is really the one that goes, oh, when we meet again, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's kind of Ultra Magnus being the jerk at the end. It's like,
I
want to save
his
life.
I mean, it kind of goes to pattern with Ultra Magnus, because... There's that one time he said, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Okay, hand me the bomb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magnus is not especially sentimental.
And Cyclonus saved him earlier in the episode from really nothing, because all he was just kind of floating by the ship. I'm okay, guys. He's in danger. Whenever you get around to it, this is kind of nice, actually.
You know, I just love our scholarly exploration of Jones.
Well, that's why we keep doing this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not wiki material that we're going for here.
No.
Just shooting the crap with Transformers. So, I just thoroughly enjoy the episode. I don't really have any, like, major fundamental... I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't have any major fundamental complaints with the episode because it is G1. It's season 3, which is always a good notch or two above seasons 1 and 2. But I mean, you still have to give it some, you know, leeway because, I mean, they weren't going for Shakespeare.
Nope.
Thank
they were
goodness.
Going to sell Ultramagus and Cyclonus toys. Oh, and Retgar.
No. It's completely wrong colors.
Yeah, right. They should have totally gone for that. I'm surprised that the E-Hobby toys.
There's money in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe someday. Maybe a classic Cyclonus.
Well, you know, Cypher did with those Heroes of Cybertron extras.
Yeah.
He hand-painted some Killing Jar versions.
Yeah, seeing those in person was pretty awesome. I saw some...
I really miss his Heroes of Cybertron home-baked.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool thing. Of course, he did kind of like go through every possible real recolor.
Yeah, you run out of stuff at a point.
Yeah.
I need to go hang out with Cypher again. I haven't actually seen Cypher in like 3 years. He doesn't live that far away from here. Alas. Okay, so I guess this is the end of the show, guys. We're shooting for a good solid hour, and man, have we delivered.
We hit our goals, guys.
Yeah, we hit our goals.
We met our quota.
High five, guys.
Up just, next, 13 minutes of new sound wave.
Yeah. Okay, so does anyone have anything on their blogs that they want to promote?
I forgot I had one of those.
Yeah, you haven't posted in quite a while.
Nice.
I posted a very important picture to the fandom today.
Oh, I need to check that out. I've not checked that out.
Safe for work.
It's safe for work. It's going to let you guys know exactly what to expect in Power Core Combiners.
Oh, excellent. TFW.net/prog.
Yep, that's right. It's a picture of a child, shark eating a child in a ball pit.
Oh, great. So, yeah, I've not posted anything to my blog in a while. I'm posting all my stuff to my Facebook page, which, you know, check us out on Facebook. Just search for Radio Free Cybertron. We post something to the Facebook page just about every day. Rarely do we fail to post. And we've actually gotten better with our Twitter as well. So check us out at TF Radio on Twitter.
Ironically, yes. we fail to post, but our posts fail. So,
yeah. So you changed your Twitter handle this week.
Yes, I did. I decided to retire the Unicron Spawn since it's an old ID. I'm pretty much going by JD Online everywhere now. So you can now find me at Twitter at the JD Church.
You're the JD Church. That's awesome.
Yes. Don't want to get confused for any other JD churches.
I would have just been JD Church, but apparently that was taken. So I was like, well, I'm the JD Church. So
the real one.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe the other one is just taken by the Church of JD.
I would join that church.
I might even join that church. So
on Twitter, I am B Kilby. Also, I am TFGL4VR. And I don't think I have any more Twitter IDs. RFC_computer, but we never post. So,
yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
the computer is very underused lately.
He is underused. We don't really post any throwback podcasts. I'm honestly thinking about taking the throwback page down and just posting throwback whenever we do happen to do one to the main page. TF Radio.
It's not like anybody listens to it anyway.
No, actually, we have some subscribers. Not that many, but we have people who listen to throwback.
Really?
There are people who have been fans forever who like that format.
Or I guess people have never heard them before.
No, they're people who told me that they love that format.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. So, XV, how can we find you on Twitter?
You can't.
Oh, good deal. Okay, JD. I mean, John.
JDUNA, JDUNA.
Rob.
Rob Springer, but it's private, so send me a message when you add me so I know you're not just another spam bot.
Okay,
yeah, I got enough spam bots and duck cases following me as it is.
Yeah, XV is XV Braun. On Twitter. Check geekcastradio.com. Here in a couple of weeks, I will be on episode 30 of ToyCast. And the best part is TFG1 Mike asked me what I anticipated the next 5 years of Transformers being. And what I described was the exact opposite of what Power Force Combiners is going to be. So watch me fall flat on my face.
Power Core, not Power Force.
Oh, I'm sorry. Power Core Combiners. I want to say Power Force because I'll go into that later.
You like Star Wars Powers of the Force?
Yes, basically. But Power Core Combiners. So I totally missed that one. So, but geekcastradio.com, they have lots of podcasts. Beast Unleashed. They just posted an interview with David Kay, which is kind of cool. You may want to check that out. So, I don't think I have anything else. Guys, anything else? Any last thoughts?
Next week we'll be talking about BotCon.
Oh, yes, by Christmas, which is the 25th, but I'm hoping that we know by the 23rd. I'm reading what Rob's saying. He's telling me that I need to... you, when you go to BotCon, bring your Febreze. So...
Tip one.
BotCon is much better than it used to be.
Yeah, go to the office supply store and get the giant bottle that they only seem to sell at those. Maybe for yourself. They got these exercise bottles you can get at like Staples and stuff that are just like double the size for a dollar more. And you know, sometimes they use it as Axe spray. Just spray some of that on.
Yeah, BotCon is way better than it used to be. So I do encourage you, if you go to BotCon, please bring and wear deodorant, please.
Mm-hmm. And soap does not hurt.
Soap
the
is your friend.
Hotel provides it. You'll have a bar in the hotel.
It's free.
With shampoo.
Yeah. Use as much of it as you like.
If you're crashing on someone's floor, which I have done, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, borrow soap from someone. You know, it won't hurt you.
And depending on how pricey the hotel is, you might have some conditioner and lotion in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Take care of those dry elbows.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen some of you guys.
Don't be ashy at BotCon.
Yeah. I've seen some of you guys. Oh, and one other bit of word. If you wear a t-shirt, make sure it covers your belly.
Yes. Belly covering is important.
I can put up with the stink. I can put up with stinks better than I can the man gut hanging out from under the t-shirt.
Or woman gut.
Gut, period. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, dress decent.
You know, like a muffin top's okay, I guess, but just make sure that the belly, there's no skin showing.
Yeah, and don't look like, we don't want BotCon to be people of Walmart.com.
No. Okay, so check us out, tfradio.net, if you are listening elsewhere. In a couple weeks, we will be the official, hopefully, the official podcast of tformers.com. I will be on the ToyCast 30. I'll also be on the last episode of the tformers.com podcast, which will be the week after Christmas. And like we said, hopefully next week, we will know when and where BotCon is. And again, hooking up with tformers will allow for more convention coverage. So,
among other things, ideally.
Yes. Right. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were going somewhere else. I'm like,
he
yes.
is, but that's Jack in the Box where he's going.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I love Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Man.
Good idea.
Brian's going back. He's full of memories now of Jack in the Box.
We should try to do a advertising and get sponsorship from Jack in the Box.
There's none in Georgia.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, I have to go on road trips, and I like come back like with heartburn because I stop at so many of them.
you know, when I go to Tennessee later on this year for New Year's, I'm totally bringing XV some Cheerwine.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. I can't get Cheerwine around here.
Yeah, Cheerwine's excellent. So, again, next week, tfradio.net, hopefully we will know more about BotCon. In 2 weeks, we will be the official podcast of tformers.com. Crazy. So check us out. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Peace out.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009 Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?